where babies come from? My sister says that mommies find them in the cabbage patch at night. But Tommy says that you buy them at the supermarket because he saw his mom bring his baby brother home in a basket.
No, that's not right. They grow from little seeds, and they live under the lady's dresses to keep warm. The lady in the next house kept hers there until she got too big, and then she put her in the basket.
Oh, don't kids get the funniest ideas? Welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Tammy.
And I'm Carol. And we're glad you can be with us, too. Today, we're going to be talking about how you know if you're going to have a baby and what happens in early pregnancy. This is going to be real women's business.
That's right. And we have Jenny with us to give us some medical information. She's a nurse who works with mothers and babies in her community. Welcome, and thank you for joining us, Jenny.
Well, thank you, Tammy and Carol. I am so happy to be here with you. You know, it's not only little children who get confused about where babies come from. Mothers need to tell their daughters the truth in simple words when they ask. We should make sure that they are quite clear about it well before they're interested in boys or thinking of getting married. The truth is that a baby can only start to grow when an egg from the mother and a sperm from the father join together inside the woman, and that only happens when they have sexual relations.
I remember at school, some girls used to think that you could get pregnant from sitting on a seat after a boy, or from kissing. But my mother told me the truth, and to behave modestly with boys.
You know, the best thing for children is that they have a mother and a father, parents who are committed to each other and to their family in marriage. That's one reason that God's Word, the Bible, teaches us that sex belongs only inside of marital bonds. Through history, most cultures have agreed with that.
Now, could you tell us how a woman would know she's pregnant? And how soon can she know?
The first thing that most women notice is that their next menstrual period, their monthly bleeding, doesn't happen at all, or if it does, it's very light. Then, within a week or two of missing the period, she may notice that her breasts feel tender when they are touched, and she may feel very tired or even sick in the stomach. She may vomit, or she may just feel sick at the thought or even the sight of food. Another early sign is the need to pass urine more often. At this stage, about 2 weeks after missing the period, she could go to her healthcare professional who can test her urine and tell for sure whether or not she is pregnant. In some places, you can buy kits at the pharmacy so that you can do this test yourself at home. You need to remember that a woman could have several of these signs and still not be pregnant. They might be due to an infection or malnutrition or some other cause.
I remember feeling sick in the stomach. But let's be clear on this. A baby is not an illness, is it?
No, it's a normal, healthy process. But the expectant mother does need to take extra good care of herself. She may need extra rest, and it's best if she doesn't do lots of really heavy or strenuous work. She needs good, nutritious food, but she may need to eat smaller amounts more often rather than several large meals. I remember when I had a few weeks of nausea with my first baby, I found it was easier to keep down some plain dry foods like toast or cracker biscuits and hot drinks without milk. I did not want spicy food, and I usually love that. It was also better for me if I didn't drink at the same time that I ate. And I used to eat some dry food before I even got out of bed. I would put a little plate of dry crackers there beside my bed the night before and hope that a mouse didn't steal them while I slept.
Do you need food supplements if you eat good, healthy food?
The healthcare worker or doctor will usually suggest some extra food supplements, such as folate, iron, and calcium, right from the beginning of the pregnancy to help the baby grow. But otherwise, you should just eat good, fresh vegetables and fruit, and some protein if you can, like chicken, fish, or red meat, and of course some grains, corn, rice, bread. and you can pretty much do your normal activities. You are not sick, you're just pregnant. I should say something about taking medications. Whatever the mother takes will be passed on to the developing baby. Many medicines that are fine for us can actually harm the baby. This includes natural and cultural remedies as well as ones from the pharmacy. So it's very important to see your doctor or healthcare worker as soon as you know you're pregnant. Check on what foods and medicines you can take and have a proper physical examination. They will need to know what your starting weight is, for instance, and check on any problems that may need treatment during pregnancy. The first 3 months is actually the most important time for the baby's development, and you really need to have medical care and advice during that time, if at all possible.
Welcome back to Women of Hope. We're talking with Jenny about the lovely topic of babies. Now, Jenny, the first thing an expectant mother wants to know is, when is the baby going to be born?
There are several ways for a woman to determine generally when her baby will arrive. If her menstrual cycle has been fairly regular in the past, here's an easy way to figure this out. First, take the date of the beginning of your last menstrual period and add 7 days to that day. Then count forward 9 months, and that will give you a rough estimate of your due date. Now, that's 9 months, but the average pregnancy is really 40 weeks from the last period. And actually, a baby can be born quite safely anywhere from 37 to 42 weeks. Of course, if your periods are not regular, it's a little bit harder to use this method.
So are there other ways to figure out the due date?
Actually, yes. This is not quite as accurate, but one traditional method is counting from the time you first feel the baby moving. This usually happens around 17 weeks, but may be a little earlier or a little later. So a rough way of working out the due date is to add 23 weeks to the time you first felt the baby definitely moving. Your healthcare worker can also measure the size of the growing baby, and he or she may be able to tell you when they think the baby's due.
I guess the next thing we wonder is it a boy or is it a girl?
Yes, that's the question everyone wants to know, isn't it? And in some cultures, it's even more important than in others. I'm sad to say that there could be real pressure on a woman to have a boy in some places. And girls seem less valued, though they're certainly not by God. God loves girls. But societies work best when there are roughly equal numbers of boys and girls.
Can a woman do anything to choose the sex of her baby?
Well, this is one thing the woman has nothing to do with. Actually, the sex of the baby depends completely on the sperm from the father, not the egg from the mother. There's no way to guarantee having a boy or girl. We just need to be ready to welcome either one with just as much love and acceptance, and be ready to care for him or her as well.
That was a lot of information. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Wasn't that good to get our facts right about early pregnancy? Can you remember how long an average pregnancy takes? Yes, it's 40 weeks. And the early signs of pregnancy? Missing your periods, tender breasts, feeling tired or nauseated, and needing to pass urine often? And Jenny's advice? Well, you need to go to your health clinic as soon as you think you're pregnant for a checkup and health advice.
You know, next we're going to learn not where babies come from, but where all of us humans came from. In the beginning, there was only God. God made everything that is, the stars, the moons, and planets, and our planet Earth. He made the land and the oceans and the clouds. He caused the plants to appear, and then the fish and birds, and then all the animals. He saw that everything was good, and he was pleased. And when everything was ready, God said, "And now we will make human beings. They will be like us, and they will have power and responsibility over all other creatures." So God created the first humans, making them like God in many ways. He made them male and female, and his first words to them were a blessing. Let's stop and think about this first part of the story. Imagine the clean new world, the most perfect environment. God was pleased with it. He had made a wonderful world and a beautiful home for the people that he would create. This is a good world, God's gift to us. In some ways, we're like the animals. We need air, water, food, and shelter. And God had it all ready for us. He loves it, and he has given us some special responsibilities. What do you think they are?
You said he put us in charge of the planet. I'm sure that doesn't mean we can use it all up to please ourselves. I think we've often done that, taken what we wanted, and not cared for the earth or the animals.
We have. And in many places, we can see that the earth has been damaged by people. People have dirtied the rivers and the air, cut down all the trees that hold the soil together, grown crops year after year without resting and replenishing the soil, and then cleared away the natural vegetation without caring about the animals that live there. We've often treated the world like a free sweet shop where we can take what we want. It's actually more like a farm where we have to understand the cycles of nature and care for the land, the plants, and the animals. If a farmer kills all the animals and eats them, the farm won't last long, will it? When God gave us power, he also gave us responsibility. Of course, we need farms and mines and timber mills and power generators. But we also need to use the earth's resources wisely so that they will continue to provide for humans and other creatures. We all have some part to play in caring for the earth.
That could be as simple as composting your food scraps for the garden, or not wasting water,
or reusing things rather than just throwing them away and buying new things. What can you do to take better care of the world around you?
I wonder what it means that we are made like God. Surely we don't look like God. He does not have arms and legs or a human body, because he is able to be present at all times and in all places.
The Bible says that God is a spirit. That's not less than us. It's more than us, because he is not limited and tied down as we are. But we are like God in some very important ways that are different to the animals. I noticed that the story says, he created them like himself. He created them male and female. That means that we are made for loving relationships. Like God, we are able to love and to respect and value our differences.
And I'm glad to hear that he made men and women. Women are made like God, just as much as men. This means he really understands us.
Did you realize that God has feelings? He loves, but he also gets angry when wrong things are done. He hates injustice. He becomes sad when he sees us suffer. He's happy when we're doing well. The Bible says he rejoices over his people. Imagine that. And he made us with this ability to feel all those emotions. We wouldn't be human without them.
But sometimes they get us in trouble.
Oh, they do. But God is also rational. He thinks perfectly, and he makes logical decisions. We have a rational ability, too, far more than animals do.
I wonder, if the ability to speak in words is part of being like God.
You know, I think you're right. God is the great communicator. He speaks to us in different ways, and speech is a great gift that only humans have. It helps us to communicate and to think and to plan ahead. But there's another way that we're like God. We have a sense of morality. We know that there's a right and wrong. We may not always choose to do what's right. I know I don't. but we do have the ability to make thoughtful, moral choices. Now, this may be the most important thing. Like God, we are spiritual beings, not just animals. You have an essential part of you, the real you, that can understand something of God and relate to Him. And this part can live forever with God, and that is unique. That makes us quite different from the animals.
It makes me feel very special to be created like God. Even though I am not perfect like He is, what a privilege we have. Every human has great dignity and a great responsibility. We don't live by instinct like the animals. God has trusted us with real choices. Carol, you said that God's first words to the man and woman were a blessing. Would you tell us what He said?
Sure. Let's go back to the story from God's Word. God said, "Have many children so that your descendants will live all over the earth and bring it under their care and control. I am putting you in charge of the fish and the birds and the animals, and I'm providing plants of all sorts for you to eat and for them too." Then God placed them in a beautiful, fertile garden, and He would come and speak with them. And God was very pleased and happy with the world that He had made, and especially the people that He had created. That's the end of the story.
What a great beginning we had! God made us and provided for all our needs. How He must have loved us! But what went wrong? We're not living like that now. We're not in harmony with God and nature, are we?
Oh, no, we're not. Humans chose to disobey God, and things have never been the same. But that's the next story. And don't forget that there is another story. It tells how God sent Jesus to make things right again. Jesus is the only person who really showed us what it could mean to be human like God. That is a story that gives us great hope.
You have a letter there from a listener in India, don't you, Carol? Would you like to share it with us?
Oh, Tammy, I'd love to. She said, "Through your program, I came to know that God has created people for fellowship with Him, but people sinned by disobeying God. I belong to a family who are not believers in Jesus. After listening to your program, I am now able to understand so many things that I didn't know about before, and this has brought great joy and peace to my life. And my friend, I hope that what we talk about on Women of Hope will help you too to understand more about God and who He is and how He made the world and us."
As we finish today, I'd like to read a beautiful poem from God's Word, the Bible. These poems, or psalms, have been written to express how the writer is feeling about something. The writer of this poem in Psalm 104 has been thinking about God's creation. How do you think he's feeling? "O Lord, what a variety of things you have made! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the ocean, vast and wide, teeming with life of every kind, both large and small. See the huge sea creatures you have made to play in the sea. They all depend on you to give them food as they need it. When you supply it, they gather it. You open your hand to feed them, and they are richly satisfied. But if you turn away from them, they panic. When you take away their breath, they die and turn again to dust. When you give them your breath, life is created and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord continue forever. The Lord takes pleasure in all he has made. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath. May all my thoughts be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord.
I love this psalm. The author shares his amazement at God's creation, and not just about what God has made, but how he takes care of them. Did you notice that he said, "The Lord takes pleasure in all he has made"? That's just what we heard before, isn't it? That God was pleased with all that he had made, and he is pleased that he has made us too.
He made us to have a relationship with him, just like our listener said. You might like to say thank you to God in your heart today for creating you and for wanting you to be his friend. We would love to hear from you. You can write to us at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. If you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week.